time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. St. Mark tells us that the Lord Jesus began the 3 years of his public ministry, his preaching and signs, with those words. And in a way, that one sentence contains everything that he will accomplish, indicating his entire purpose. Time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The time is fulfilled. Until Israel, most civilizations on earth believed in the eternity of the world and that time was cyclical. This they observed from the seasons of the year, from the birth and death of plants, from the motion of the heavens. It seemed that all existence is cyclical. Israel bore a different message. There was a beginning, there will be an end, and between them there is a straight path. And the path is marked out by the designer and maker of all things, the one who made even time and space themselves. The Lord Jesus comes preaching that the time is fulfilled. The eternal plan of salvation, which was in the mind of the Father before anything came to be, is working itself out according to his eternal purpose. And now the time is fulfilled. Something unique and unrepeatable is happening. The kingdom of God is at hand. He will spend the next 3 years attempting to explain to those who will listen what this means. All of his preaching is filled with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Read all of the parables. Jesus comes to preach the kingdom. And when his apostles ask him to teach them to pray, he teaches them to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Every one of us, the entire human race, is caught up in the rebellion against the Father's eternal plan, and in order to conform our lives to his will, we must be changed. We must repent. We must undergo the radical reorientation, which is conversion. And where do we find the means to do this? Believe in the gospel. The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That is, the good news of salvation. Everything that God has revealed that we must know and do to live with him in glory forever. That's how it all began. The 3 years of his ministry. And today, we see how it ends. The first lesson this morning is taken from the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. This is Luke's second volume. It's a continuous text with the gospel according to Luke. The gospel tells us about the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. The Acts tells us about the history of the early church. The first lesson begins with the ascension. Jesus, since the resurrection, has spent 40 days remaining with the apostles, teaching them, and speaking about, what does Luke say? The kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak. He's pointing ahead 10 days to the gift of the Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" The kingdom has been at the heart of his preaching. During the 40 days between his resurrection and his final departure, He's been speaking with them about the kingdom of God. In a sense, it's natural that this question is first in their hearts. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? But the question betrays that they have not understood a word. Neither did Judas. Why did Judas betray Jesus? It's a complicated thing, and it's impossible to know for sure everything that was in the heart of that poor wretch. We know that he was a thief, and therefore a liar to cover his greed, meaning his heart was already corrupt in so many ways, but surely at the heart of his complete collapse of faith in Jesus was this. Nearly everyone living expected a Messiah to come for the purpose of gathering together all the tribes of Israel, uniting them as one people, one nation, and from among them raising a vast army, the task of which would be to expel the hated Roman oppressors and to throw down the vile sons of Herod, who ruled by leave of the Roman emperor. And having done this, to restore the house of David to its royal dignity, governing an earthly kingdom from Jerusalem, as did David. Even after hearing him speak, even after witnessing his signs, even after being witnesses to the resurrection, in their heart of hearts, the apostles want him to take command. They want him to be a general and an earthly king. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand." How are we to know the eternal plan and understand what the Father has in mind? Paul tells us in the second lesson this morning. This is a dense and difficult text. It's poetic and philosophical. It incorporates an ancient Christian hymn. It's difficult to follow. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him. One reason the apostles on that day of our Lord's ascension did not yet understand fully what he'd been teaching them for 3 years is that they have not received yet the outpouring of the Spirit. We have. All who come after them in the church receive the outpouring of the Spirit in our baptism when we are born again by water and the Spirit, in our confirmation when we are sealed with the Spirit of God who completes and perfects what begins in our baptism, a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of God. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, Paul continues, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. What is the hope that belongs to the call, to repentance and faith? It is not earthly dominion. It is not the power to rule the nations of the world. That's not the hope of our call. Paul says, may the eyes of your hearts be enlightened to know the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones. What is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe in accord with the exercise of his great might, power, glory, riches? Who doesn't want these things? And Paul is saying, may you receive all of this. May the Spirit help you understand all of this. And how is it revealed? Which the Father worked in Christ, raising him from the dead. Think about the conversation between the Lord Jesus and Pontius Pilate in the Praetorium, the very building which was the symbol of Roman power and might. Are you the king of the Jews? Pilate wants to know. Jesus acknowledges that he is a king, but his kingdom is not of this world. If it had been, one word from him would have been enough to destroy everything. He is the omnipotent and eternal Word by whom we were brought to be. His kingdom is not of this world, and so his kingship is revealed on the cross. He's not a conquering hero, but a suffering servant. But now that he has been raised, Paul continues, now that he has been raised from the dead, God seats him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion. These are the choirs of angels. He is the cosmic Christ, the King of all creation. And more than that, Paul concludes, God the Father put all things beneath Christ's feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. And now we come back to the question, are you going to restore the kingdom now? Jesus preached the kingdom of God was at hand because in his own person, God dwelt on earth. Think about Adam and Eve, who wanted to grab divine glory for themselves, to make themselves gods by the exertion of their will. That led to catastrophe. The eternal plan was for God to lay aside his eternal glory and clothe himself in human flesh, and in humility live among us and suffer and die for us, so that the divine glory which was always intended for us in the Father's eternal plan can be restored to us. Jesus preached the kingdom, but until the last day, the kingdom is not fully and finally realized. It is already begun, but not fully and finally realized, and in between is the time of the church. Now here's the problem. When the church yearns to be the earthly kingdom, we return to the pride and vanity and arrogance that led to the fall. The church is not an earthly kingdom. But from the conversion of Constantine and the raising up of Christianity to be the official religion of the empire, and from the days when kings and emperors received their crowns from popes and bishops, from the time when bishops were noble and feudal lords exercising real earthly power, the church has suffered from a confusion about this point. That is not the power of the church. Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now he's got their attention. You're going to receive power. Isn't this what we all want? Power? Not for ignoble purposes, but to set things right. If I could just be dictator for a day, it would all be made right. You will receive power, dunamis, from which we get dynamic and dynamite. This is what they want. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's what the power is. Not the power to rule the earth, not the power to tax the people and release them and establish justice on the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. To be a witness is to be a martyr. The church does receive power, and we'll consider that next week. The power of the Spirit to preach the gospel and lead souls to conversion and saving faith, to administer the sacraments of the new and eternal covenant, to bear witness to the truth of God's holy word in the hope that men and women will be changed by their encounter with the eternal word and will establish a more just order of human affairs as we await the last day. But no order of human affairs is ever the kingdom of God, and the church on earth is merely the seed and beginning of that kingdom. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."